You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. By Arbeit Software, the best office phone system in Buffalo. And presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care.
'Twas the night before Christmas. Really, it's the morning before Christmas, right? Good morning to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever it is that you celebrate or don't celebrate, it's the Extra Point Show right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you in the house today. Our second to last Extra Point Show. We will be here next week to review the Bills and the Dolphins, but today, it's Bills-Patriots. And to be honest with you, I want to talk a little bit about the entire league if we can. Maybe Christmas stuff for you, wish list for the Bills going into the offseason, and we can have a little fun with today, because I know a lot of you are out there, you're shopping, you're getting that last-minute shopping done, procrastinators, all of you. I know, I can be too. And, you know, you're probably listening and maybe in the kind of mood that you don't want to talk about the Patriots' domination over the Bills, which continued yesterday in Foxborough. A 24-12 victory. Patriots beat the Bills, as that drops the Bills now to 5-10 on the season. A win next week gets them to 6-10 overall, obviously, and not good enough. Not where they want to be. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can debate all we want about, you know, what the organization felt they would be, where they are right now in their life cycle, as, you know, Sean McDermott puts it a lot. But in the meantime, it's another loss to New England, and in a different kind of way that they've lost to New England, at least recently. It's kind of the same way they lost to New England early on in the drought era that was previous. Obviously, they broke that, but the Brady era, let's just say that. But it's been different now, and it was a little different yesterday. We'll get into all that. In the meantime, let me set the show up for you here. As always, want to remind you, you might have some new listeners today. You might be bumping around going, hey, first of all, where's the Instigators? I don't listen at this time, but I'm off today and I'm listening. Instigators will be back tomorrow. It's 17 Mondays a year we do this. It's after every Bills game during season. It's called the Extra Point Show. It's me, Sal Capaccio, with you. And we do it from 10 to 12. And then you'll get One Bills Live and Chopin the Bulldog, of course, as well, after we're done here. But in the meantime, you know, if you're driving around, you're thinking, what's the show all about? Let me tell you what it's about. It's about you. It's not about me. It's not about guests. We don't do interviews. We don't do guests. We do phone calls here. So I need your phone calls today. Let's get through this together. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about your reaction to yesterday, Josh Allen's performance, what you think about Tom Brady. I think that should be a topic today, and what we see from the Patriots and where they are and their possible decline, maybe. I don't know if we want to say that. It's like every time you say it, it doesn't really happen. We could do that today as well. And your Christmas wish list, your off-season wish list, make it a Christmas wish list. What do the Bills need? What do they really need? What would you like to see happen? Anything like that. Any type of wish you have for the Bills headed into the off-season, we can do that as well. 803-0550, 888-552-550. We'll get to my sit up and stand down. We do that towards the end of every single show. Sit up on something or someone in the NFL. Stand down on something or someone in the NFL. I'll get to my buddy today. Hey, buddy. Got a good buddy for you. He's all of our buddy tonight, if you get my drift. And, of course, we'll look ahead to the next game, and I'll give you my extra point from the sidelines. But like I said, what's this show about? It's about you. No guests, no interviews, just phone calls. I give you the time. I give you the line, I give you the time, you talk, you give questions, you give comments, you give opinions, I'll let you talk. Doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything, I might even disagree with you. That's okay, I'll give you that time to do that. In the meantime, the only thing I ask from you, make a contribution to the program. Not just a, hey, let's fire everybody, or this team is great and they're going to the Super Bowl next year. That does nobody any good, doesn't really make a contribution. Your thoughts, your analysis, your thoughtful questions, those things are what make contributions to this program. So you do that, and I will give you the time here on the line. Yesterday, again, 24-12, the Bills lost to the New England Patriots. As the old adage goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? I want to read this to you. I wrote this at WGR550.com, but I'm going to read it to you. The current Patriots run over the Bills started back in 2001. The current Patriots run over the Bills started back in 2001, excuse me. That was Brady's first year as a starter and ultimately the Patriots' first Super Bowl championship. Now, there's been plenty of blowouts along the way, right? We know that. But that year, back in 2001, the Patriots won the game in Foxborough the two teams played by a score of 21-11. They won this one yesterday, 24-12. Pretty similar. In that game in 2001, Brady was not very good. In fact, he threw for only 107 yards. He wasn't very good yesterday. He threw for just 126 yards. In that game in 2001, the Patriots turned it over to the Bills three times, just like they did yesterday. Yet in both games, the Bills could only muster one touchdown in each contest. Amazingly, in both contests in 2001 and yesterday, the Bills were exactly 2-for-12 on third down. How amazing is all of that? And of course, none of it really matters as it relates to today in 2018, except I say it only to point out that 17 years later, after the Brady run against the Bills began in 2001, the Bills are having the same problems they've had every year against New England, and the Patriots still find a way to win, even though they don't have their best stuff, and they certainly didn't yesterday, meaning Brady and the passing game. We'll get to the run game in a minute. But that's why the Bills are 2-16 in that span in Foxborough. 2-16. And in the only two wins they have in that time, Brady didn't even play at all in one. He was suspended. And only in the first half in the other, as the Patriots rested their starters the last game of the year when the game didn't matter to them. Yesterday, we all knew and said the game was going to be a real test for Josh Allen. He was facing a Bill Belichick coach defense for the very first time and on the road at that. The rookie certainly struggled with it. He made several poor decisions and throws, especially early in the game. Now, I think he got better as the game went on, for the most part, but this was one of those games where the box score actually wound up maybe making his day look even better than it was, rather than the other way around. We've talked about how, hey, the box score doesn't tell the story on him, and if you really watch the games, he was better than that. Yesterday might have been the reverse. If you look at the box score, you might go, okay, didn't complete, 50%. That's not good, but it wasn't a or all-around really poor game, especially in the second half. But I think that he actually got yards later in the game when the game was decided. The Patriots were giving them the underneath stuff. He threw for the touchdown to Zay Jones. Either way, though, he did connect Josh Allen on some impressive throws, but there just weren't nearly enough plays made by the offense overall yesterday. It was a tough task for Allen, and I'd say he had his worst day since returning from the injury several weeks ago. That in no way lessens my outlook on his future. It just wasn't a good performance. It happens. He's a rookie at New England. You'd like to see something better. This team overall needs a lot of work. A better day by him would have definitely given the Bills a greater chance to win. But in the end, they made far, far too many mistakes in other areas too. The special teams, they've basically self-destructed before our very eyes. And once again, it cost them points. A fumble in a key situation in the red zone. Missed tackles and lack of adjustment, whether that's by coaches or players, on one specific play, the jet sweep, that was terrorizing them all day. That's what led to the defeat in Foxborough, on top of the quarterback play and everything else. And once again, the Bills walk away from a game in New England, losing against the Patriots, staying in the same spot and situation they've been for 18 years now against them. And it just seems like, and it makes you think, when is it going to end? Every year I think to myself, this might be the year, and it's not. Maybe next year is, because I will say, Brady did look different yesterday. He did. I don't think he's as sharp. We talked about it in pregame. I've mentioned it this week, looking at him on film. I don't know if he's playing injured. He's probably banged up, bumped and bruised, but either way, passes are a little bit off. Timing's a little bit off. He's getting rid of the ball quickly and throwing it away, even more so than he has before when he's about to have some pressure. Doesn't see things as quickly as it seemed like he always has. He also has a bit of a more skeleton crew he's working with. No Josh Gordon yesterday. Rob Gronkowski seems to be a shell of himself, for sure, the way he's playing right now. He can't get any separation. The Bills actually did a really good job on him. He had no catches for only the fourth time in his career. But it still added up to a loss, because the Patriots found a way to win, even though they didn't have Brady being Brady, as we know him. They ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball to the tune of 273 yards allowed on the ground. Jets, that is just an abysmal number in performance against the run for a Bills team that had been pretty good stopping their opponents on the ground for most of the season. That is the third, however, 200-plus yard game on the ground they've allowed. The Patriots didn't have Josh Gordon, like I said. Brady wasn't as sharp as, like I said. So they turned to running and gashing the Bills all day, 47 times. Tom Brady handed it off, or I guess at the end it would be Brian Hoyer with a few of those. 5.8 yards per carry. 5.8 yards per carry. That happens when you have like 20 attempts sometimes, and you're just getting some chunks because teams are, loaded up on maybe the pass, and you find a way to run every once in a while on some prevent defense or dime defense. But 47 attempts and then 5.8 yards a carry? Just not acceptable. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. The Bills do have an offseason with assets and money, and they can do that. But again, we come away again from this one. This is a game that I think a lot of people were vested in. As opposed to many other years in the past, late in the season, going to New England or the Jets or whatever, late in the season, and you think, okay, here we go. Let's just get by this one. Let's get to the offseason. This one people were invested in. They wanted to see Allen against Belichick. They wanted to see the Bills take down the Patriots in a game that meant something to New England. But they come home again 24-12, losing this one like they have many times before against the Patriots, and it's frustrating. And you wonder when it's going to turn because it didn't again. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. A lot to dissect here. You want to get into that, want to get into the offseason, whatever you want. It's all good with me. We'll just kind of make a potpourri grab bag, what's in the stocking type of deal here on the Extra Point Show. By the way, in case you didn't hear my 'Twas the Night Before Buffalo Sports Christmas, my annual rhyming review of the year in the Buffalo sports scene, pro, college, high school, I'll read that to you again live later in this program. We do have it on demand at WGR550.com, but you don't have to go there now. You can just listen to this show, and then you can hear me read it live again later before we head on out of here at noon. Rob in North Tonawanda. Hi, Rob. You're on the Extra Point Show. Merry Christmas to you, and let's start us off.
Hey, Sal. Merry Christmas to you also. First, I had a question, and then I wanted to go with my wish list. Did the Bills ever have a chance to look at another kicker? Because Hauschka, ever since that hit, he's not looked the same. I mean, like missing a lot of field goal, like what would be normally chip shots to him in a way. And I'm wondering if they were looking at any kicker.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's only 1 week left. I don't know if they want to. Is that at this point? You could do that just if you think he's hurt and you don't want to injure him, that would be a reason to get another kicker. I don't see a reason with 1 week left in the year. That's something you do in the offseason. Usually they bring two kickers to camp, though, and they have, they have them kind of go at it a little bit and to see if there's anything there. Steven Hauschka has been a good kicker for this organization. I don't disagree with you. He has not been his best this year, and especially since that injury. I do think, rotating holders all year has impacted his timing or whatever. But that's not something you do now, Rob. I mean, they can look at that in the offseason. There's 1 week left.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, like punters, rotating punters. Yeah, I agree with that. And my wish list definitely has to be a number one receiver. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I liked Zay Jones this year. I like Thompson and McKenzie, but they're not your prototypical number one receiver. And that's what, if we have enough money under the cap, I want to see him like really gun for a number one receiver and like a 4 year, 5 year pro, and hopefully teach the younger, the younger receivers how to help them, coach.
I totally agree, and I think yesterday you really saw why it's important. There were some balls that should have been caught. There were some balls where, obviously, Josh wanted back, but I think that if you watch around the league at some of the plays being made by wide receivers and you come away thinking, boy, that's the kind of guy the Bills need. Did you watch the game last night, Rob, between the Chiefs and Seahawks?
Yes, I did.
Did you? I mean, come on, right? Is that not the great example there? I mean, Doug Baldwin's a really good receiver. I don't put him in the class of Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones, but he's right there, right below them. And even that guy just makes everyone better on the team.
I agree with you, Sal. I mean, Doug Baldwin, to me, he's the most underrated receiver in the National Football League. And when I watch receivers, I mean, Doug Baldwin is the one that's like always underrated. You don't hear his name. And you know, Russell Wilson does have some weapons. And I'll tell you what, I mean, Doug Baldwin especially is one of them.
Yeah, well, he made some great catches. Rob, thanks for the phone call last night. But the point I'm making isn't really specifically about Baldwin. It's how much a guy like that can do for your entire receiving corps and for your quarterback. You just trust him. You put the ball up. DeAndre Hopkins, what he can do for Deshaun Watson. We saw it firsthand against the Bills and Tre'Davious White down in Houston on the touchdown that he scored there and a couple other plays. A couple of weeks ago, Kenny Golladay here in Buffalo making contested catches like that. I mean, that's what receivers can do for you. They need a guy like that. The Bills need a guy like that. I agree with you 100%. Let's go to Mike in Marilla. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So I'm a little bit confused. Like, if you're going into a game against the Patriots, is that not the game plan to beat the Patriots to shut Tom Brady down? And the Bills did that yesterday. They did that very well. And for some, you see these games every once in a while where their line is just getting manhandled by the other team's line. And I look at the money we put into it and the players we have up front, it just doesn't seem like, you know, I almost feel like the Bills planned for Brady to throw all over them and they didn't even think about the run game.
I don't know if that's true. I think leading up to the game, a lot of us said because of the way Brady looks and because of his weapons being deteriorated, we felt the Patriots would run a lot on the Bills. And I think that they expected them to run. I do think they missed Matt Milano a lot yesterday. He makes a lot of plays near the line of scrimmage. I think Corey Thompson was not very good in the run game yesterday. He was better in the pass game. He's an athletic linebacker. You know, Mike, I mean, you said when you opened the call, you said, isn't the game plan to shut down Brady? Sure, that is it. But, you know, there's another part of the game. And when you're getting gashed like that, you have to be able to stop it. And the way Brady has looked, I would have taken more chances to allow him to try and beat him because he wasn't his sharpest.
Yeah, that was my second thing, too, is because normally I'm pretty, you know, I see him giving up some chunks in the first half. I'm pretty confident they're going to come out in the second half and adjust that. And they just didn't do that. I mean, to me, honestly, Josh Allen played better or just as bad as Brady did yesterday. And
I pointed that out. You know, do you know he actually had a better? I don't think passer rating is a great statistic in a comparison. But just to throw it out there, he actually did have a better passer rating than Brady overall.
Yeah, and he threw some nice balls. And it all comes down to the receivers. I think, you know, and you've seen him trying to make some of them back shoulder throws yesterday. And our guys just, they can't do it, you know, so.
Yeah, that's on both. That's on timing for sure. So, I mean, I think a lot has to be cleaned up there. It just, again, underscores the need for a number one, you know, wide receiver. Ken in Buffalo. Hi, Ken. You're on WGR.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit of piggyback there. Why does it seem that our receivers, when there's a drop, it always seems to be at the worst possible moment? A touchdown, two touchdowns dropped. But my wish.
Well, I think they had one touchdown that was debatably dropped. I agree that Logan maybe should have come up with it, Logan Thomas. But the other one wasn't a drop necessarily. It was Robert. I think you're thinking of Robert Foster lost it in the sun, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't drop the ball, but you're right. I mean, that's unfortunately, it does happen. I mean, it was a really horrible timing for that. He had Stephon Gilmore beat. You know, you want to see the play being made there, but I think that's nature, I guess, impacting the game in a way. I don't know what to say on that. That was a big play, though.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, this year, and I think they will, you know, the wide receiver, I hope they get creative. You know, we do have 10 picks, and trading for a guy that will, you know, being number one, that could be expensive, but I just wish that they spend it on fat boys and fast guys who have actual ice water that run through their veins.
Well, you can't just go grab anybody you want, you know. I mean, the guys you can't just take everybody else's players. I mean, that's against the rules. It'd be great to go get the best guys they can get, but they can only get guys who are free agents.
Well, what I'm talking about is there could be, you know, there's always that veteran guy who I can't believe he traded him.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, that's up to Brandon Bean to try and, you know, work out those deals. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills make a deal for a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, or anything this coming offseason. I do think that this organization knows that they need to start winning. And in year number three of this regime, I guess two and a half with the GM now, but of Sean McDermott's reign as head coach, his run, year number three, with all the cap space being cleared, I think that they understand, you know, where they're at and what they need. Who is on line three? Can I get a name on line three? I don't have that with me right now. Steve. Okay, Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on WGR. Merry Christmas. What's up?
Oh, Merry Christmas. I was just going to say, I can't help but say almost the same thing as one of your callers said, is that they, regardless of whatever, they did do a good job against Brady and intercepting him, and that's the best I've ever seen him do against him, although they were missing Josh Gordon. But
they did, but it's not regardless of whatever. You can't just say regardless of 273 yards on the ground. That matters.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that they beat Buffalo on the ground, missing Matt Milano. And the fact that Josh Allen was kept throwing for the fences where he's got to get
Okay, well, let's start with, hold on, Steve. Steve, you're all over the place. Let's start with what you started with. Let's start with the defense. I don't want to go to Josh Allen yet. We can do that in a second. All right?
Okay.
Yes, you're right. They did a nice job. But at the end of the day, Steve, the job isn't just to shut down one facet of the game. The job is to do a good enough job so that you have a chance to win the game in other ways. And look, I mean, we can talk about the offense all we want. You can't allow 273 yards on the ground. I don't care how good of a job you do on a quarterback. That's just putrid and awful.
Yeah, okay.
Now, as far as Josh Allen, go ahead.
Oh, it's what I was going to say about Josh Allen. He's got a beautiful arm. I mean, he's known around the league. He's beginning to have a reputation for his arm. But he kind of like in boxing, he's kind of swinging for the fences a little bit too much. He's got to get an under game like Brady. That's how Brady made his bones. When Brady came out, Brady was only throwing 20, 30-yard slant passes. And that's how they were winning. But the fact that Josh has got to get a shorter game, he's got to at least concentrate on it, because if there's nobody open long distance, he's going to run. And that he's a quarterback. And the running is impressive, but we need someone that's going to pass the ball. And he's got to get a smaller game together as well as his big game. That's already known.
Have a good Christmas, Steve. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Andrew in Albany. Hi, Andrew. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Boy, Allen looked a little nervous yesterday. I was at that game, and I've been to a bunch of New England games, and there was no Bills fans there yesterday. It was quite unnerving. But I tell you, Allen looked nervous, but he settled in as the game kind of went along. All year, I've been a season ticket holder out in Buffalo, and all year I knew it wasn't about 2018. It was about kind of growing the team. They've gutted this whole roster, but, I mean, we got a young team. And it's about more of getting the pieces in place for the offense in 2019. And I think what Brandon's trying to do is get ready for 2020. And then on top of that, man, I can't wait for us to see Tom Brady and Bill leave, because these fans are just so arrogant.
Well, here's the thing, though, Andrew. It seems like every year we sit here and people say, and I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, but when you say to me he's getting us ready for 2020, it was supposed to be getting ready for 2019. Now we get to end of 18. Oh, it's about 2020. 2 years ago, it's supposed to be getting ready 2 years. No, the time is now. Like, you're clearing the deck. Like, they have so much cap space. You know what they did? Brandon Bean, I think, did something really smart. He said, I'm no longer going to restructure contracts. I'm no longer going to take dead money in future years. I'm taking it all now. I will bite the bullet, and I'm going to have all this cap space available in 2019. You know what that means to me, Andrew? It's about 2019. It's not about 2020. I'm not waiting 2 years. They need to win next year.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That seems fair. I mean, I'm in the same boat. I want to win in 2019 as well.
And I don't think that they're waiting till 2020. I think their plan is to win in 2019. Maybe not. Maybe that's the next step. You get into the playoffs, you go a couple rounds, and then 2020 is when you really start to contend. You have Josh Allen in his third year. I get that. But, man, they need to make the playoffs next year. They have an abundance of resources to try and retool this roster in a fashion in which I think they can, in order to help out their young quarterback.
I would agree.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Okay. I'm tired of, well, it's 2 years from now. No, it's always 2 years from now. What about next year? Now it's $85 million available. Go spend it. Go use it. You got to make good decisions. I love what Brandon Bean did this year to take all of that cap space in 1 year. We are not sitting here today, as we have so many times in the past, saying, you know, this offseason, they still got to clear this guy's dead money and that guy's dead money, but in next year after that, it's great. We've done that way too many times. You know what we're saying now? It's all gone. It's all gone. Yeah, is there a tiny bit left over, like maybe a couple mil somewhere now? And can they have some with other moves they make? Yes, but it's all gone. The dead money is, see ya. Now use it. Use your assets. Make some deals. Hit the draft. Help your young quarterback. Take the next step. Now's the time. Especially when you see how Tom Brady looked yesterday and you think that maybe, just maybe, we're starting to see the difference and the decline in what the Patriots are going to be over the next several years and beyond. I don't want to declare him dead yet, but I got to tell you, being on that field, he looked different. 803-0550, 888-550-2550, Sal Capaccio here with you on the Extra Point Show. Give me a call, and if you want to give the wish list for the Bills offseason, we can do that for Christmas. Want to recap yesterday, talk about Josh Allen, whatever's on your mind, we can do it here today on a Buffalo Football Monday.
As a young quarterback, you're going to see some things from time to time that are new. And so they presented some things that were new for Josh. And, you know, I thought he settled down at times and made some good throws in there. And but overall, obviously not enough on offense. We got to have better production. I didn't think our early down success, early in the game in particular, was good enough. We were into some third and longs, which is not a healthy situation for a young quarterback.
I agree with Sean McDermott. I think he's right there, and he gave insight into that. You know, we can talk about cliches, and this coach gives a lot of generalities because he doesn't give you all the minute details all the time. And, you know, most coaches are like that. But I think right there, you could take that and say, that's right, what he said. He's not going to tell you exactly who screwed up on every play, but early down success, Josh Allen seeing things he hadn't seen before, all added up to them being in third and longs and being behind the sticks, if you will, right? And unable to, you know, convert and keep drives alive. That's why they were 2-12 on third down all day. That's why they weren't able to move the ball early in the game. They started with 3-3 and outs, I believe it was. And things were just rough for Josh Allen all day. I said pregame, I said, he's not going to see the same look twice in the first half. That's just what Belichick's going to do. And, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I do know what Sean McDermott said. It backs that up, that they give him a lot of different looks. That's what happens with rookie quarterbacks. Belichick eats them up. It's tough. It doesn't change my outlook on Josh Allen in any way, shape, or form. It's a game. He wasn't as sharp. He wasn't as good. And it's not unexpected against that coach in that situation. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We do have some open phone lines. Give a call now, because if you do, you'll get in and you'll get your time here on the Christmas Eve edition of the Extra Point Show. If you want to give me your Bills wish list, what Santa can bring the Bills to help them, whether that's now we're in the offseason, I guess in the offseason, got 1 week left. You can do that. You can also talk about Josh Allen, the game yesterday, or just the league in general. If you have any questions or comments, saw an interesting week number 16 in the NFL yesterday. And I think, like I said early in the program, more examples of why the Buffalo Bills need a legitimate number one receiver that can make contested catches. Because yesterday, you saw around the league, some of these guys that are just, they're always there for their quarterback. They make catches that other guys just can't, and they just change the game. They make a difference. They're big difference makers. Robert Foster's a really nice player, and he's going to be a nice player, I think, going forward. He could have a really nice career. He's not a quote-unquote difference-making wide receiver right now for the Buffalo Bills as far as wins-losses. They need a guy who can do that. And this offseason, where you got to grab him. And then Robert Foster can be a number two next year, maybe, unless Zay Jones can try and hold down that job. I think it'd be tough for him, though, the way Foster is really coming on and the skill set he possesses. But the future number one wide receiver on this team to really help Josh Allen to make the kind of catches you see Doug Baldwin make last night, and DeAndre Hopkins make on a weekly basis, and Antonio Brown make on a weekly basis, to be that kind of guy, to have that kind of guy. That guy's not on this roster right now, and you hope they can find him. Let's go to Mike in Wheatfield. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR. What's up?
Merry Christmas.
You too, thank you.
Is there a backup field goal kicker, the Hauschka, like Dyer or some other?
I don't know what they would do in that situation. You know, if it, I I know it sounds funny. I do know Micah Hyde has some kicking in his background, but I honestly don't know who the backup kicker would be if they got hurt. It might be the punter. I don't know.
I have a basic question. Now, I know on a touchback you can punt, like at the beginning of the game or after a touchdown to score. Can a team punt, or they have to kick the ball off the ground? Is that the NFL rule?
You mean on a regular kickoff?
Yeah.
I think you have to use a tee. I could be wrong. No. They can. You know why I know that? Because last night the Seahawks did that. Did you see what happened last night?
No, I didn't see
it. So the Seahawks kicked a field goal last night. They went to kick a field goal. Sebastian Janikowski got hit and he got hurt. So he came off the field. The punter, I believe it was, kicked the field goal. I missed that punter, but I think the punter kicked the field goal. And then they elected to have the punter kick off and he drop kicked it. He did not put it on a tee. He drop kicked it. I think it has to hit the ground first, though. Yes, you can't just punt it. I think it has to hit the ground. So he drop kicked it. He did not use a tee.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that before.
Well, there you go. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, that's what happened last night, in case you didn't see it. The Seahawks are 18-2 in their last 20 primetime games at home. Let that sink in for a minute. One of them was against the Bills, when the Bills maybe should have, definitely could have, won that game a couple of years ago in Seattle on a Monday night. 18-2 in their last 20 primetime home games. That is an advantage. People say, if you look at the stats, home field doesn't matter. 18-2 in their last 20 primetime home games, it certainly matters there and at night. Tom and Binghamton, plus they're good, obviously, but that's huge. Tom, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I agree with you. I think, with $85 million cap space and 10 draft picks, I think Bean and McDermott will be a little bit on a hot seat next year. And my second point is I'm not too sure what happened to Danny Crossman and his special teams. I mean, they have really given every team the best starting position in the NFL. And I think that's...
Well, I have to look at the exact stats, but you're not... I mean, your general thought isn't wrong. I don't know if that's exactly right, if the best starting position, like mathematically, if that works out that way. But you're not wrong, Tom. I mean, the special teams have been an issue on this team all year, but they've really been an issue the last month or so.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I thought the team overall... I mean... That fumble on the 6-yard line, I think, backbreaker right there.
Horror is a huge play. There were the two biggest plays of the game were that play and Julian Edelman not being brought down to the ground.
Yeah, and really, you correct those plays. I think they could almost pull off that win as bad as they played. So I do have a lot of hope for next year if they make some good choices. And you know, and if you looked at it, same thing happened to Steelers. I think Juju Smith fumbled right at the...
He did.
It's tough, man, because they are just backbreaker plays. But overall, I'm kind of excited for next year. I hope they make the good plays and get a true number one wide receiver. And I think we'll be okay because they did play as bad as they played. They could have beaten down New England team. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets pull it off.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Sam Darnold looked really good yesterday. You're not wrong in the special teams. It's just been a bad year for them. And we can point to personnel. We can point to coaching. I just think they need an overhaul there in some way, shape, or form. They got to do some different things. I mean, they did lose Tywan Jones. That's not like, oh my God, they lost Tywan Jones. That's why they've been bad. Losing guys like that hurts you, though. No doubt about it. But they've had far, far too many mistakes on special teams this year, including yesterday. I mean, can we count the ways yesterday? First, it was a missed field goal by Steven Hauschka. He hit the crossbar on a 43-yard attempt for whatever reason, whether he's not as healthy, whether he had a bad angle on the maybe the hold wasn't as where it needed to be. I don't think the wind was much of a factor. I was down there. After that, they allowed Julian Edelman to run free for 25 yards on a punt return, set the Patriots up right at the Bills' 24-yard line. Then they had a punt partially blocked. That allowed the Patriots to take over at the Bills' 33-yard line. Oh, by the way, I think that's the third or even fourth punt this year they've had either outright blocked or someone got a piece of. Then they botched an extra point. Didn't even get it off the ground. Cost them points there. Special teams cost them 4 points. They lost the game 24-12. If you... put those 4 points on the board, 24-16. Bills are down 8. That's a score. One touchdown. Special teams have been disastrous for much of the season. They were especially disastrous yesterday and the last several weeks. They had the botched fake field goal that wasn't supposed to be Corey Bajorquez, right, against Tennessee. They had those awful kick returns they allowed against the Jets several weeks ago. We can go on and on. It's been bad all year. And the punting, they've gone through three punters because they can't get someone to be consistent enough to do what they need to do punting the football. It's not just on coaching, but I think obviously that particular aspect of it, the special needs coordinator, has to be examined and what they're doing and coaching and what they want to do and the philosophy and all those kinds of things. That's what Sean McDermott has to do this offseason. Has to really evaluate, but he will. As all coaches do, they'll evaluate the entire coaching staff. They also need to figure out players, personnel, what works, what doesn't, because special teams just aren't giving this team an opportunity to win because they need them to when they're as less talented on offense as they are, let's say, right? The offense is so behind the ball because they have so much less talent than a lot of teams they face. They need their special teams to supplement them. And that's the quote-unquote complementary football. Let the special teams put them in a better position. And they just haven't this year. Or the defense, for that matter. And they've cost them points. Scott in Tennessee. What's up, Scott? You're on WGR. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Sal. I appreciate what you do, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
I love McDermott and Bean. I trust what they're doing. I think Allen's going to be a really good player. Season's kind of gone, kind of the way you expected in a lot of ways. My question is regarding when you look at a group, a position group like the offensive line or like the wideouts, and it's almost, you almost feel like as a fan, this isn't going to work. These players are terrible. How as a coaching staff do you feel like, oh, we should be fine? I mean, I'm playing, you know, obviously both guards have since been replaced, but how at one time did you look at that and think, yeah, that'll work? Or in the case of the wide receivers, you know, Kelvin Benjamin runs out week after week with no production, and you keep lining him up. Same with Charles Clay. You keep lining him up. I don't get that from a coaching perspective where you're like, yeah.
Well, what are the other options when you talk about Kelvin and Charles? Yeah, that's tough. I mean, what are the other options there? You saw Logan Thomas yesterday. He didn't make a catch he's supposed to. When it comes to those guys, I agree Kelvin wasn't producing, but, I mean, you could go with the youth movement, but you know that what's behind those guys, once you release them, once you don't play them, I think therein lies the issue with that particular problem, right?
So it's no trust in like a Kroom or
yeah, I mean, but here's the problem with that. Like Jason Kroom's a nice pass catcher. I'm not putting him on the field to block a lot, you know what I mean? And you need your tight end to do that. But let's go back to your original point here, Scott. What I do want to agree with, which is they overestimated the wide receiver core at the start of the year, right? I mean, I remember being in some off-season stuff, like owners' meetings and things like that, where we asked Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean about the wide receiver core, and they really felt they had guys that they had groomed and that would step up, that guys that might have been in the practice squad, Brandon Riley, Malachi Dupre, guys like that. They also felt that they might get a free agent who would get released in the summer who they could pick up and bring in. Jeremy Curley did not work out. They've had a few of those, but they certainly overestimated the guys they had and the jump they would make, I would think.
I just don't know how much they want to invest financially. You're pulling guys off of practice squads, and they're good finds. I mean, obvious, or off the street, undrafted guys. You're like, oh, boy, we found somebody.
Yeah, it's hard, though. I mean, who are you supposed to get otherwise, right? I mean, you can't...
At this point of the year, yes.
Yeah, even at that time, though, I think... I don't know. I don't know what the answer would have been. Maybe make a deal if you could have. I think they needed all their assets for the quarterback to make sure they did that. I don't know what the answer is. The problem was that they overestimated the wide receiver group. The answer, though, never came in the form of an ability and resources to go and address it.
Right.
I think that's the best way I could put it, Scott.
Okay, have a great day, man.
Thanks. Yeah, he's not wrong. I mean, it's been an area of concern. It's way better now, though, even than it was. Think about that. It's way different, and it's way better. They put more speed on the field, but it still needs more guys in an overhaul. And they're still bringing guys in. Victor Bolden was signed. Isaiah McKenzie obviously brought in not too long ago. They have Cam Phillips in the practice squad. He came up for a cup of coffee for Robert Foster. Foster comes back up. Now he's doing nice things. Take a timeout. We'll come back. Got a lot of phone calls to get to. Lots of things to get to here on the Extra Point Show on the Christmas Eve edition on WGR.
They did a really good job. It's a really good coach team, a really good defense. didn't feel like it was too fast for me or things were too crazy out there. You know, we lost the game and a couple plays here or there could be a different story right now.
You can let this play for a minute. I like it. That's why I like this song. Brenda Lee, right? Brenda Lee, I believe, is the singer here.
Your guess is as good as mine.
It's not a guess. It's a pretty educated one, at least. Okay. This and the Bruce Springsteen song that I hear a lot. I like both those. When they come out, I'm like, okay. And the Mariah Carey, she sings All I Want for Christmas, right? I think those are like kind of the ones that stick with me when they come out. I'm like, yeah, I can get into this.
Every time I hear Bruce Springsteen come up in Christmas songs on the radio, I turn it off.
I do. I am a big Elvis Christmas fan, though. At the house, Elvis Christmas is on a lot. I love the Elvis Christmas album. My dad used to play it all the time when we were kids. When I was a kid, loved it. And I still love it today. Definitely. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, yeah, I love it. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. What do you got in your Bills wish list if you want today? If you want to talk about the game yesterday, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, anything else that's on your mind, let's do it today. Bob in Hamburg, what's going on, man? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Sal, and your little one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I just want to talk about, other than the Bills, the whole NFL.
Yeah, let's go.
In particular, the Ravens. Really interesting, playing with a rookie quarterback. Actually playing at a high level now the last couple weeks. Did a number on San Diego. I just wanted to know your opinion. Can they make the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback? Has it ever been done?
Oh, sure. Have rookie quarterbacks been in the Super Bowl? Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger got to a Super Bowl. No, he got to an AFC Championship, right? And then he lost. Is that what it was? I think. Who's the last rookie quarterback? Got to think about that one. I'm sure someone's going to tell me real quick. But here's the thing. I don't think they're good enough overall on offense to do that. They have a very good defense. He's playing well. But what's funny to me is people say that, you know, about Lamar Jackson playing well. He's kind of doing exactly what Josh Allen's doing. His completion percentage is right around 50 to 55% every single game. He only throws, this week, Bob, he threw for over 200 yards for the first time ever. Okay. And then he's running. And that's what Josh Allen does every week.
Well, smarts me a little bit. It seems like that. It's perennially the same teams, it seems like, for the last 10 years. Steelers, Ravens, Patriots.
Well, I do think that the Ravens have a very good organization, a very good structure. They understand that it's a marathon and not a sprint every year. I think John Harbaugh is a very good coach. Just like a lot of people, I thought maybe this was going to be his last year, but then they turn it around. He understands how to manipulate his coaching staff and his players as the season goes on to get the most out of what he needs. So, sure, they can get to the Super Bowl because their defense is probably good enough. They do play really good defense. I don't think they have enough offensively, though, to get into any shootouts with anyone if they have to. They beat the Chargers on the road Saturday. That was impressive.
That was a big win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanks for the call, Bob. Merry Christmas to you. Jack in Depew. Hi, Jack. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hi, Sal. Merry Christmas, Paisan. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Just working before the holiday. I just wanted to go over a couple quick things of my thoughts on the game yesterday. I really thought Allen played about as good as expected against Belichick. I mean, I can't really fault him. His receivers kind of let him down. McKenzie had two or three drops. Logan Thomas has to catch that one in the end zone. But my biggest thing is the run defense really let them down. I think they really missed Matt Milano and Johnson. Those guys were thumpers. So.
Yeah, I think going into the game, there was a fun debate between some of us about who would they, if you could choose one guy to take that's injured to put back on the field, would it be Milano or Taron Johnson? And I think there could have been a case made for Johnson considering, hey, Josh Gordon's out, Edelman becomes a bigger role, you want that guy covering in the slot. But I think after the game, it's clear they miss Matt Milano a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And with Taron Johnson, I mean, a couple times yesterday, I noticed they had Alexander, nothing against Alexander, he's a fantastic football player, but they had him trying to cover Edelman, and Edelman, you know, juked him out of his jock at least two or three times. So,
well, he also had the interception too, right? I mean, you know, it's a tough assignment if you don't have that right slot guy. So you have to kind of make up. I think Taron Johnson covers up for a lot of things they don't need to do that puts him in bad position because that's a very unique position to play.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to give you my wish list really quick if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, I think they need to replace at least three guys on the offensive line. I think Dawkins is salvageable, whether they move him to the right side or leave him on the left. I think Teller, they'll give him more time. But they definitely need probably a better center, definitely a better right guard, and I think Mills needs to go on his merry way too. And then at receiver, I think they'll sign somebody. I would not be surprised if they went after like Devin Funchess because the Carolina connection.
I don't disagree with that. I think he would be a guy I would at least think of as possible target.
Yeah, definitely. But
he doesn't bring the skill set of the speed that they seem like they're putting on the field, but he does have that bigger catch radius. He's a bit of a bigger guy, and of course the connection you mentioned.
Right. If they have other fast guys, they need a guy
yes.
that can get the balls. But I thought of a perfect guy. He's not a free agent, but with Ridley coming on in Atlanta, Mohamed Sanu might come available for a mid-round pick.
And interesting.
He's big. He's fast. He's never been a number one, and I don't expect him to be here either, but he could provide some of that. And then I just really want them to draft Anthony Johnson. And, you know, you have a Merry Christmas, man.
You too. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the call. And to back up on that, the name that I've said that I think the Bills should at least make a call about is A.J. Green. A.J. Green has got 1 year left in his deal. He's going to be coming off an injury and surgery. There could be some major changes going on in Cincy. We don't know. That's not all. Have that been cleared up? Do they know? Lewis coming back? I think there was still some question. I'm not sure. Either way, they're going to make some changes. They have a lot of overhauling to do there probably. They might want to move on and get a youth movement going there at that position. The Bills need a guy like that. So I would just at least make that call to see what that would cost. Sanu's an interesting option. Golden Tate's a free agent. Tyrell Williams. I like Tyrell Williams from the L.A. Chargers. That's the kind of guy that 4 years in the league, you see some nice things happening. You're like, bring him over here with our quarterback, the skill set he presents. He could really be a nice player. And, you know, in L.A., he's going to be the third option behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams at that even. All right, 1 hour left to the show. Don't forget, coming up later, got a few things for you. Sit up, stand down. My buddy, hey buddy, going to get to our focus on the next game. Going to get to our extra point from the sidelines. And I'm going to read to you, once again, live, my 'Twas the Night Before Buffalo Sports Christmas, which is my rhyming review of the 2018 Western New York sports scene. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back after this on the Extra Point Show.